Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Looking at the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. John, it's a puzzling situation at first glance. The crowds flock to him from Jerusalem, from Judea, from all of the countryside. John the Baptist is hugely popular. The people flood to him. And on one level, it doesn't make sense. Here is this guy out there in the desert. He's dressed funny. He eats funny. He's clothed in simple camel skin with a simple leather belt. He eats really simple food, honey and locusts. He foregoes the basic comforts of even his day and age, lives this very spare and sparse life out alone from the people. He's not easy to get to necessarily. And his message, this is not exactly a seeker-sensitive message. He didn't exactly read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. His message is harsh. His message is demanding. His message is a message of judgment. And yet, the people absolutely flock to him and attend to his message. Why? It's clear that God himself is at work. It's clear that the Spirit of God is doing this. In fact, Matthew tells us that this John is what was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. He is the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. This is God's own messenger with God's own message. And the people sense that, the people hear that, and the people respond to that. And what is his message? His message is very simple, very straightforward. He begins, the first words we hear from the mouth of John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, if you flip in your Bible just one page to the next chapter, you will observe that after our Lord Jesus is baptized by John, after Jesus is driven out into the wilderness to be tempted those 40 days by the evil one, when Jesus begins his public ministry, he begins it with this exact same phrase. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Both John the Baptist and Jesus himself preach this same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Do you think that message is important? Absolutely. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven. Many say it's better translated the reign of heaven. When we think of the kingdom, we think of this place that's static and maybe even distant and far off. Maybe we're tempted to think of what will happen when we die or what will happen when Jesus comes back. But better would be repent, for the reign of heaven is near, the active ruling of God. And when John speaks and when Jesus speaks, it was near because the very King of heaven was coming imminently, soon. In fact, he shows up right after the last words of this passage. Jesus himself, the King of heaven, and his rule, his reign, breaks into the here and now. This troubled and broken world, which to all appearances is ruled by the devil and by sin and a world gone amok, the King of heaven has come. And the King of heaven, his reign has broken in to this very world, to this very era, to this very eon. And John says, repent. In view of this king, in view of his rule and reign, repent, for he is near. This is how he prepares the way. Make straight the path. This is how we prepare for King Jesus to come, through repentance, through not just merely changing our minds, but changing our entire orientation, our entire worldview, by being converted, by coming out of the darkness and into the light, by coming out from death and into life, by turning away from our sins and coming back to God. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven, the reign of heaven is at hand. Jesus is here. Repent. Open up your hearts. Prepare your hearts that he may truly enter in and find there a home. Repent. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. When you read this in Isaiah chapter 40, in your NIV, it's all caps. That tells us that the Hebrew there is not just a title, but it's the divine name. It's Yahweh. John has been sent to prepare the way, not just for the Lord, but for Yahweh himself. And that tells us, right, who this Jesus is. He is not just a man, not just another prophet in a long succession of prophets, but this coming one, this King of heaven, is Yahweh himself in human flesh. It is for none other than God himself that John prepares the way and urges people to repent. Yahweh comes. So be ready and repent. And the people then heeded this message, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Everybody came. Everybody flocked to John, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But when John sees them, he says something else. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, who looked oh so good on the outside with their religiosity, John says to them with insight from heaven, he calls them a brood of vipers. Ow. He calls it like he sees it. With divine insight, you brood of vipers, children of snakes, venomous. The damage they would do with their tongues. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He says to them, don't just go through the motions. Don't just appear religious on the outside. Don't just come into the water and be baptized. Don't just kneel and mumble some words of confession. But let that repentance cut deep. And let that repentance last. And let that repentance bear fruits. It's not just a momentary thing. It's not just an outward action. It's not just an appearance of looking religious, of looking holy. But this is something that is to bear fruits, a lasting evidence that there's been a real change on the inside. That you really have turned from sin and turned to God. That you really have gone from darkness to light, from death to life. Is there fruit that brings evidence that that change has happened? John calls the Pharisees to more than just ritual, to more than just appearance, to more than just an association. He says to them, don't say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. God can raise up children for Abraham out of these stones. John says, don't just say, we've got it made because we are good and holy descendants of Abraham. We are part of the covenant people. We have a genealogy that saves us, that reconciles us with God. No. Your genetic connections, even your man-made associations with a certain denomination, with a certain religion, none of this saves you. God can raise up other people of his own from the very stones of the ground. He says the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. If there is no fruit, if there is no evidence of repentance, then clearly repentance has not happened. And what is left? Only judgment, a fiery casting off of what is now refuse and dead. The fruit, the tree, the axe is at the root of the tree, and if there is no good fruit, they will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And if you think John is tough, he says that the one coming after him is more powerful than he. He is not fit even to carry his dirty sandals. In fact, the one who is coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire and with images of agriculture. He speaks again of the coming judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He takes that fork and he goes into that pile of what was gathered in the harvest, both the good grain, the fruits, but also the chaff that's dead and worthless and lifeless and itchy. And he sticks that fork in and they toss it up in the air and the wind blows the chaff and the good stuff settles and they gather that into the barn and then they burn the rest. This is a picture of the end time judgment, where Christ the King comes in glory and separates the wheat and the chaff, the fruit from that which is dead and worthless. And that which is not fruitful is burned up in a fire that cannot be put out. That day of judgment is coming. The King draws near. Yahweh himself draws near. So repent. That message, repeated also by Jesus, rings out to us here today. Repent. The reign of heaven is at hand. Yahweh comes. Turn. Turn from your apathy. Turn from your sluggishness. Turn from your indifference to God. Turn from your self-sufficiency, your persistence in relying on yourself and not on God. Turn from your cold and fruitless prayer life, where you are not dependent on God, but seeking with your own wisdom and skill to make things work on your own. Turn from your own sense that you are good enough on your own to stand before God Almighty. Repent. Be converted. And see that apart from him, you are lost. The reign of heaven is at hand. Yahweh comes. Before he comes to judge, though, what has he come to do? He's come to save, hasn't he? It's right there in his name. If you turn back two chapters in Matthew's gospel, that's what the angel says. Joseph, you are to name him Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, who saves. Before the Lord Christ comes in judgment, he comes to save. Yahweh himself in human flesh comes to save. Yes, he comes and he so identifies with sinful humanity that he is incarnate. In the Virgin Mary, he takes on our frail and human flesh. And he takes on a close association with us as he walks into the very Jordan River with all of the sinners around him, even though he himself is perfect and righteous and holy without sin. Yahweh saves. Jesus comes first and foremost to rescue, to bear our flesh, to bear our sins, to bear our death on the cross, to bear our judgment, to swallow up the wrath and judgment of God against our sins. He comes first to save, first to rescue you. So why would you not repent? Why would you not turn to him? Why would you not hide yourself in him? For his kingdom is here right now, and it is an oasis in a dry and barren land. Outside of the reign and rule of this Jesus, there is only desert, wasteland, and death. But in his reign and rule, there is life. It is an oasis in the midst of a dry and weary land with no water. So we cry out with the psalmist, "My God, my God," right? "Oh God, you, I hunger for you. I thirst for you in this dry and weary land where there is no water. For his love is better than life." In this reign of the King of Heaven, here is living water for your soul. Here is the true vine. And if you hide yourself in him, as you have been joined to this vine in baptism, and as you feed from him in his very own flesh and blood today, what does Jesus say? "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." Apart from him is the desert wasteland. Apart from him, there is only death and futility. But in him, there is fruit. There is life. Never-ending life. So repent. For Jesus has come. Yahweh has come to save you. To rescue you through his death and resurrection. To join you to himself. To feed you. To nourish you. To produce fruit in and through you. So repent, for the reign of heaven is at hand. Jesus is here for you today. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.